Would you turn over with me and join me in John chapter 14? John chapter 14, I think we build upon the messages of last week. We build upon the message that Mr. Grinnell brought forward to make this point as we come to the day before Pentecost. John chapter 14, verse 26, and it says, "But the Comforter, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, that Comforter will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you." How does the Holy Spirit teach you and me? That's the question I ask today. How does the Holy Spirit teach us? It says here that the Holy Spirit will come and teach us. Did you have a knock on the door this morning? Hello, rise up. We're ready to talk to you. Is that how? What happens? A few things. I'd like to define a few words as we go. It says first, the helper. The helper in Greek is parakletos. Often you hear it mentioned that way. It means to call to one side. The helper will come to your side. The Holy Spirit will not, this comforter will not come and take over your mind, body, and soul, and you'll become a zombie in a movie, you know what I mean? Programmed by a good computer someplace else, okay? Not you. To come to one's aid, to be an advocate for one, to plead one cause, we know. That's the role of this helper, by definition of the Greek word parakletos. Then we have these two other words that are very fascinating, and we'll talk more about those tomorrow, on the day of Pentecost. But it says Holy Spirit. Holy is venerated. Hagios. You know, one of the things, I think those who saw the wedding, Mr. Delamater, since you brought it up, so we'll play on your little thing. He really got up at 4 a.m. I don't believe that. With playback, why would you get up at, okay. We had to tease him a little bit. Where did he go? There, he's right there. Okay. Anyway, but hagios, I mean, it's venerated. In our society, we venerate nothing. Okay, do we? Except what we want, right? But did you notice at the end of the wedding, they come out from signing the registry, and the prince and his bride stand, the whole groom stands, the cornets, the trumpets, the sound of the orchestra rise, and the whole group sings, "God Save the Queen." They venerate their head of state, and we aren't around veneration too much. But this is something that the New Testament writers refer to as it's venerated, it's holy, it's something that comes from God. Thus, it's hagios in the Greek. And the other word for spirit is pneuma, which we're going to talk more about tomorrow. It's that movement of wind, the breath that comes from nostrils. And you say, where does that holy breath come from? We get to ask that question tomorrow. But this Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, that Spirit will teach you all things. The word teach is didaktiko. You've heard didactic teaching. It comes from the Greek. It means to deliver, to give instruction. The Spirit of God is going to give you and I instruction. And we get to ask how. The Cambridge Bible for Schools and Colleges makes a lovely comment about this verse, and it says here, it's the continuation of my work. Being in the first person, it's talking about what Jesus said he would do. Something was going to come and continue the work. Who was teaching the disciples? Jesus was. He was with them 3.5 years, they say. And the discussion was going on. They had a question, he answered it. And he sent them out 2 by 2. He was instructing them. He was giving them the ways to go. And so this Holy Spirit, it says here, brings forward, because of the concept of teaching, that Jesus was sending something, this Spirit, this venerated gift from God, to do something to continue his work. It wasn't going to be something new. The Holy Spirit wasn't going to come and teach and say, oh, fine, by the way, Jesus said it this way, but I say it this way. Well, it can't be. The very definition of the Greek is to continue that which the Savior had begun. Thus, mission of the Parakleta is the same as the mission of the Redeemer to the Father. You see, Bill was talking about the type and the antitype. The Father had a mission, and he sent his Son to perform it, to redeem his creation. You see, God doesn't send people to redeem that which were not his. God has sent a redeemer to redeem you and I and everyone who are his, who belong to him. God's taking back that which doesn't belong to him. God is having an opportunity for you and I to come back to him where we all began, if you would, his very creation. Now, Jesus explains all this a little more in John chapter 16, verse 12 and 13, if you'll join me there. John 16, chapter 16, verse 12, it says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. You know, it's a good lesson for us. Sometimes we want to teach people to fly before they've learned to walk. You know what I mean? Sometimes we just have to realize you can't teach beyond, you know, you don't teach calculus in first grade, right? Unless the first grader is very unique, right? But you have to teach in season. That's why, you learn math every year, and you have addition, then you have subtraction, then you have multiplication, then you have division, and then you have algebra, and then you have everything is in a new and an age-appropriate level, and Christ knew that. He wasn't trying to tell them that which they couldn't bear yet. Verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit, the Parakletos, okay, the Spirit of truth comes, that Spirit will guide you into all truth. For the Spirit will not speak on its own authority, but for wherever he speaks, that Spirit will speak, and he will tell you of the things to come. The things to come. An interesting concept. Notice it says here, it will guide you, and it will speak truth. Guide and truth. Not take over, but guide. This is important. You know, the word for truth here is al-latha'a, and it means literally the things that pertain to God and the duties of morality of man. Not the truth about your car, your mobile phone, you know, whatever. No, the truth about God and the truth about, I think, important, the morality, the religious faith that man and women should have. This truth comes through the Holy Spirit teaching us, and in what way? Now, the word guide means literally to lead one's way. The signs of refuge. You're running down the road, you want to get away, why? They had a sign, because you might forget, you might go left instead of right. That's why there were signs. The Spirit says, this way, this way, this way. How does it do it? How does it do it? Ellicott's commentary for English readers makes a great comment here. It says, to point out the way, we must take, though, the step, brethren. We must run the race. We must act. If we are to reach the road sign, if we are to let the Spirit guide us, the Spirit doesn't make us get up. Sometimes we have to get up. We have to put one foot in front of the other. And then we will see how the Spirit guides us. I thought the Expositor's Greek Testament made a point that I would like to leave us with on this one. It says, the Spirit will guide, meaning shall lead you, by steady advance rather than by sudden revelation. You see, sometimes we want fairy dust, right? We want to get up and we want to go, I got it. Now, there are moments when you've been working on a project and you've been away from a project, I agree, and you come back and you go, well, duh, I didn't see it that way. I should have, right? I mean, I get that. But there's this steady continuance of the Christian experience which yields its result. Okay, we are fortunate, okay, most of us, many of us in this room, we have a long history in the church community. Many of us in this room are second or third generation Christians. You have families that have values that represent this book and God's way. You don't know what it is to have a family who doesn't turn and ask for redemption. You don't know what it is to have a family who doesn't believe that the Bible teaches them the way to go when they're lost. That gives you a whole new mindset. It gives you a whole new way of thinking. You see, in a whole new way that the Spirit of God can lead you. It can teach you. But it's a steady advance. Had those parents or grandparents not done what they had done, Pentecost after Pentecost, unleavened bread after unleavened bread, you wouldn't know the blessings you have without that. It puts you in a place you can't see. John Metaxas, in his book about Amazing Grace and about William Wilberforce, and he made the comment that once they had changed the law in Britain about slavery, he made the comment in his book, and he says, they realized with Wilberforce, they had turned the corner of history as a right angle, and that modern history from the 1800s forward would never be able to look back clearly. Because once you turn the bend right, you can't see back. You have to go back in history, you have to research it, etc. You see what I mean? Our lives are inextricably changed because of the power of steady advance that the Spirit of God has made through families who lifted one foot in front of the other and treated the other better than themselves, asked for redemption, asked for forgiveness, and practiced the Christian way. Redemption has meant a great deal to our human psychic, our spiritual content. The Cambridge Bible for Schools and Colleges says the Greek verb means to announce, literally to proclaim. So there's a speaking that goes on, but how does the Spirit speak and guide you? Turn over to John 16, verse 23, where it says, "And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask in the Father's name, he will give to you." God, we want to know, how is the Spirit of God teach us, guide us, speak to us? What's it say in John 17? All these verses are right here. John 17, verse 17. We know the famous scripture. You know, I always loved it. You know, when scriptures have the same numbers, you know, it's kind of easy to remember things. You know what I mean? John 3:16. Anyway, but how about John 17, 17? "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth." The truth that comes from the Word of God. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 24 a second. Luke 24, 45. Jesus, after he'd been resurrected, talking to the disciples, and here's how Luke records it. "And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the literature of the day." No, that they might comprehend the scriptures, of which, remember, Jesus says, not one jot or one tittle will be taken away. "I've come to fulfill the law," Jesus says. He's come to enhance and build on a message that was of redemption of God begun from the beginning, that they might comprehend the scriptures. The Holy Spirit guides and teaches you as you read the Bible. The answer to today's question lies in reading this book. The one that's on your lap, the one that can be in your ear as you're listening to a sermon, as you're walking down the path. Aren't we so lucky today? We can listen to the Bible. We can read it anywhere. We can take it. We've got it, small ones. We've got big ones. We've got electronic ones. How neat. But the Word of God teaches you. The Spirit will guide you as you read the Bible and you put it into practice. Let's go over to Psalm 119. This is not a complicated formula. It is Bible 101 basic. Because you see, when we talk about the venerated wind that comes from the nostrils of God tomorrow, The Spirit does not, he says, teach you things that it does not already know. It's to teach you what came from the Scriptures, what's in the Bible. God's got it here. We must mine it out. Notice what it says in Psalm 119, verse 9. It says, how can a young man cleanse his way? How can a young person figure out what to do in life? It says, by taking heed according to your word, God. Your is God's word. God has not left us orphans. He has left us with this word. With my whole heart, verse 10, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Wander. This is what happens in life. Young people, if you want to know how we adults make mistakes, we just kind of, sometimes, you know, we day one and day two, and we didn't pray as much today, and then we didn't read, and you know, your mind wanders in class. Well, life sometimes can wander. And you see people, they wander out of the household of God. They wander out of their marriages. They wander out of the commandments of God. That's why it's so important when we just say, we had a general conference of elders, which we continue to follow the bylaws. We continue to exercise the process. We continue to report on the income, report on the salaries, to continue to look at this situation. We just continue to do the same. Sometimes, you know, same is boring, but sometimes same gets us down the road. You know what I mean? Saving $100 a month, day in and day out, yields a result. Reading God's word day in and day out allows God himself, through his holy venerated Spirit, to teach us of his greatness in redeeming us, as Mr. Grinnell brought out. Notice what it says here as we read on. Your word I have hidden in my heart. How does that happen? It happens by us ingesting it, that I may not sin against you. It does. It convicts us. It keeps us steady. We must add scriptures to our data bank. Scriptures that teach us and remind us to pray for others, that remind us to admit our faults, that remind us, as it says, God asked Jesus how to pray. What's he start with? Our Father. Every time I say it, I can't go any further. Our. Our means our. It means all. You mean, who else is praying at that moment? Our Father. Jesus, it was the most encompassing line. Our Father. Every race, every creed, every person of history, past, present, and future. Our Father, the one who began it all, whose venerated Spirit comes to us to teach and guide us if we will reach in. Notice what it says in verse 14, in verse Psalm 119. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. And the only way to not forget your word is to look in. You know, sometimes, brethren, we just need a verse. Sometimes, you know, sometimes we make Bible study and everything so complex. Maybe, you know, we just need to read a verse. Maybe it's over breakfast. Maybe it's beforehand. I have a friend I was talking to the other night. He's got a new pledge. I thought it was very fascinating. His new modus operandi was to look at no electronic device for 1 hour after he got up in the morning. Whoa. A little radical, huh? Woo! I don't know, mine's sitting right there on a night table. It's got the alarm on it, you know, and the first, you know, and I, well, what's happened in the night? And BBC's right there, you know. It's bold. Bold because he wants to be connected. Wow. I had to pause. I said, well, you know, maybe he's got a thing going there. There's a new book, by the way, if you have a young person in the house, I'm thinking about Bob back here with a person under 10. It's a little book by John Crook, and he wrote a book about the TechWise family from the Barna Research. And he starts in his preamble to the book, he says, I'm going to go Amish on you about technology for people under 10. And he's a very interesting little tome. It's only like 60 pages, but he makes a great point. For young people and others to train new habits, he moved all the tech to his edges of his home, all the place where they were as a family. There were no screens. All the charging, everything, all went to the areas of his household. Maybe that's not for everybody. That's how he managed tech in their home of three children growing up and how they were going to put it in its place. We have to agree that we're all addicted. I mean, right? I mean, I hate to shock you. We are all addicted to video. Video, screens, sports, news, whatever. We're addicted. If you don't think we're addicted, go into any restaurant. I've been flying, you know, back and forth. The new thing in the restaurants. I mean, it's screen, 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 screen. There's the bar, right? And there's the pullers, and then there's screen, 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 screen. I mean, it's like every restaurant you go into. I mean, and it's not the same channel. They've got five things going at the same time. Ball games, sports. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm glued. If I read a book at night, I can go right to sleep. If I have a screen on, I get to see the end of the story. Video is very impactful. Some people work in the video world. They know how impactful it is. I'm not anti. I'm just saying. Here it says, I don't forget your word. Let the word of God touch us. The Spirit then can guide us. Notice, going down, skipping down to verse 97. 97. Notice what it says. Oh, how love I your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. You see, enemies don't understand redemption. They don't understand what it is to have in their life the power of the veneration of God's Spirit to lead them, to guide them, to know when you should be humbly bold. Now, there's an interesting combo. Think about it. A Christian is humbly bold. When you stand for the right thing, you apologize not because you stand on God's word. Recognizing the other person has to have the space and time to see it as well. Wow. Notice what it says as we go on. Verse 98, your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than my teachers. For your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. May the word of God direct our steps. Incredible. Verse 102, I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How does God teach you? He teaches you with the use of his Spirit as you read the word of God. It's an incredible gift that it comes to us. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I will hate every false way. Verse 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. The word of God, a light to your feet and path. Not one of those headlamps, you know what I mean, that you put on so that you can see through dark spaces and tunnels and not bump into things. How does God teach us? By practicing what we read in his word. The Holy Spirit speaks what it hears. What's it hear you read? What's it hear you see? Some days we probably see things that we shouldn't see. We read things. Maybe our hearts are too sensitized. Maybe they need to be a little more guarded. John 16, verse 13. 16:13. What's he say? Jesus, in the middle of this huge section, once again speaks to us and says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, the Spirit will guide you into all truth. John 17:17, your word is truth. For the Spirit will not speak on his own authority. The Spirit, whatever he hears, he will speak. What's the Spirit hear you and I read? It can instruct us if we read it. It teaches you as we take in of the Word of God. A few scriptures as we reflect on this. How about 1 Thessalonians? How did the New Testament writers come to see this really play out in their lives? Notice 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, Paul put it this way. For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. You and I in this room are here because we believed the book said thou will go and keep the Sabbath. You're doing the word of God. The Spirit has taught you because you have put into practice what it says here. And you have trusted that these words written in this book were written by God to you and to me. You received it not as the word of men. Do we read just one verse in the morning and remember that God is speaking to you, to me? That the God of the universe that began all that we can see. You know, there's that lovely line in Chris Rice's musical piece. He's a great lyricist, by the way. And he says, talks about the earth. And it's hanging, and it's spinning at the perfect 23, right? The earth is sitting at a 23.5 degree pitch, right? Isn't that right, Stephanie? Approximately? You got the right, I know you got the real math, right? You can give me the decimal points, right? Okay. But I mean, but imagine, okay, it's spinning. There's no strings. The earth is out there, it's spinning, okay? And it's moving around the sun. It's no puppet. Okay, I mean, I know how they do it on the screens. Well, I guess I kind of do theoretically. When you build a video image and you spin it, right? Well, you're really giving all the commands to in the computer code to do it. God has got you and I spinning on a globe that's spinning around, that's in the middle of space, that's orbiting the sun. There's no strings. I'm a little scared. Are you scared? It's worked for a lot of years so far. Anyway, how about James chapter 1, verse 2? James chapter 1, 21. James 1:21. Notice how James wrote about it. Wrote about the Spirit of God teaching through the Word of God. James 1:21, and it says it this way. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. You see, we aren't reading this book because we want a better way to build the mousetrap. We're not reading this book because we just want to, we want to earn our $1 million or whatever so we can retire or whatever, okay? We're reading this book because we want eternal life. 1 John 1, I was about to quote it. It's 1:25, right? 1 John 2:25, it says, and this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. God's promised that we get to live forever. How's it going to happen? The Spirit will come to you, and the Spirit will teach you. It will guide you into all truth if we read this book. How about Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12? Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12, it says, the word of God is living and powerful. Why? Because we count it not as the word of men, he says, as the word of God.
This is how it gets its power. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, of discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, sometimes when you say it, somebody goes, well, I don't think you meant it to say it that way. Well, the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, can help you determine were you, fudging or were you being real. This book, through the power of God, comes and talks to our hearts, our souls, and convicts us. It changes us. We aren't the same ever when we let the Redeemer touch us, are we? No. How about over to 2 Timothy chapter 3? 2 Timothy 3, this is the way Paul put it to Timothy. It's a scripture memory, but put it in this context, that what he says. Paul says to Timothy, reminding him of the power. All scripture is given by the inspiration of men's lived out lives in the way in which they remember to tell the story. It says, under the inspiration of God. And it is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in what? In righteousness. Righteousness to inherit eternal life. That's why we're here. To go from physical to spiritual. That's the ride we want. That's the ride that all mankind wants. To live forever. We have counted the words of God as inspired. For our living, if we want to serve God, if we want to serve men, we must read and practice the truth as God has expressed it in His holy word. Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, Luke records it this way. In Acts chapter 5, verse 32, he says, and we are His witnesses to these things. And so also is the Hagios Pneuma, the venerated spirit whom God has given to those who obey Him. You see, my friends, we read the Word of God. We follow its instructions. We repent. We get baptized. We have this Holy Spirit that led us to all of that action. Then dwelling with us. And as we read the Word of God, we continue to change, be molded, be redeemed and shaped for living forever as we obey, it says here, God. Let the Spirit of God teach you in the coming weeks, in the coming days, through reading God's rich, inspired Word that was written for you. Let us read the Word of God and be taught through the Holy Spirit.